Hello and welcome to the last edition of the 2012 season for the GoMeanGreen.com post-game show. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
Harry, we are here after this game, after a 24-14 victory over University of South Alabama.
Yes, hey, a win is a win. It wasn't pretty at times. It was a little scary in the first half. But hey, the bottom line is you take a W in this year's Sun Belt contest, any chance you can get them. And, you know, this puts North Texas in an interesting spot. They're 4-6 now. They've got two games on the road against tough opponents. But, hey, you know, South Alabama has shown that they can compete in this league. So whenever you can get a win, even if it's South Alabama, you take it.
You know, it was there was fewer home games this year. The ones we had beautiful weather. You know, we had, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Today it was a little windy. The crowd just wasn't really there. I mean, it had just been typically that way the last games of the season, but we always had bad weather. Good weather this year, but, you know, I think it's kind of indicative of what you had as far as football-wise on the field for the earlier part of the season.
Yeah, the product, you know, was a little bit tough to sell here towards the end, but I still think it was a decent crowd considering it was our last game and we're in November. The weather's been great this season. You can't argue with that, especially compared to last year. And again, you know, getting a win at home to finish off the home stand is not a bad way to end things here. Now you just got to hope that they can get some things going on the road against Monroe and Western Kentucky.
Yeah, the crowd was a slow show, but they did show the students kind of filled up about halfway of what they've usually done, but it was senior night. You know, when they were calling the names out for the seniors, the real playmakers, I mean, you know, it was good to see some guys, you heard their names. It's always good to see guys graduating, been here in the program. But you see a gap of the real playmakers. The names you see, Cantley was out there freely, Powers. There were some other guys out there, and, you know, Brown, OB, but, you know, real playmaking guys that you hang your hat on, there just weren't any in this class.
Biggest one to me is Andrew Power. That's a big loss. They're all good guys. They've all contributed to the program. But as we've discussed on GoMeanGreen.com in ad nauseum, with Dodge going heavily JUCO his last 2 years in the program, that leaves you with a pretty big gap of seniors and juniors. So the reality is there's a lot of these guys playing right now that'll be back next year. And not to mention that most of the McCarney's second recruiting class is being redshirted. So it's going to be a lot of familiar faces, but also some new additions to the 2013 season.
24-14 victory. You kind of felt like when the game started out, it was just, there was no energy. I mean, it was just kind of like, let's get this game over with. There wasn't a whole lot of excitement out there. It was slow to move. We were actually favored in this game. But let's jump over to the offensive side of the ball and talk about quarterback situation. I just want to start there and just work our way down.
I mean, I think it was a ho-hum performance by Derek Thompson. Nothing spectacular. He did not turn the ball over, though. That was the key. And South Alabama did. So in a lot of ways, this was a textbook MAC win. You get the other team to turn the ball over, even though South Alabama outgained us in terms of yardage and really had some nice, you know, especially in the first half drives, it didn't matter because the turnovers went against them and that ended up leading to the victory. The biggest play of the game, really, if you think about it, is that second half when the guy, when South Alabama thought they had a touchdown. The guy stretches out the ball, and then the ref says that it's basically calls it a touchback. Boy, now has there been a bigger turnaround of events this season?
That was a North Texas play. I mean, people around me, we were discussing it. Yeah, the guy went down. He stumbled a little bit right around the 3-4 yard line, and right around the 2, he fumbled the ball forward. It hit the pylon, so it was basically a touchback. But he had a 40-yard return. For what looked like was a sure touchdown. So it was one of those plays that would seem like, you know, they're just palm to the forehead, but those are usually palm to the forehead on our side, you know. So it was, I hate to see it happen to anybody, but I was glad that we benefited from that. We got the ball back, and that kind of sealed the deal.
The other thing that jumps out to me about this game is this is the first game that we've had a running back rush for over 100 yards since Texas Southern. Brandon Byrd, now one key injury today was Jimerson. Jimerson had some type of shoulder injury. I saw him on the sidelines with ice. So that forced him to go put the ball in Brandon Bird's hands. But, boy, he had a really nice run there, big touchdown run there, I think, in the third quarter. And he had over 100 yards for the game. That's a big lift for North Texas when you can have the guy that typically is getting the short yardage gains get a big, long touchdown like that.
Right. And you know, that was a 85-yard touchdown run. And I heard George and them talking about this earlier when they were given highlights. That's the longest touchdown run since 95.
Wow. 85?
95.
Yeah, but the yard, I'm looking at this, was, yeah, it was an 85-yard
85-yard run, yeah. Touchdown. That just says, wow. I mean, you think of all the great running backs we had. I was shocked. I thought maybe 2005, but 95, so I want to go back and check that one. Maybe I misheard it, but the fact is it was the third longest touchdown run in North Texas history. So that was a great, and boy, you know, he looked like at one point they might catch him, and then he just made this nice little move, just a little cut move to the right, and they that stretched out, and they just couldn't catch him. Great to see Brandon Bird run that. But I'll tell you another thing that I really like to see. I like to see Jeremy Brown with his touchdown run. Senior, that was like a 45-yard run or something
nice
like that.
Nice run.
Very nice run. Senior, last game, he had a great, you know, that was just a, that was a great, great exclamation point. That was the first touchdown of the game.
You know, Carlos Harris, I thought, is another guy that caught my eye. He had a nice day today. And you know what? There were times where they were running that play where it's sort of a wide receiver handoff that you'd remember seeing Breland Chancellor being the guy. And there were a couple times when I looked at it and I was like, whoa, that looks like Chancellor, but it was actually Carlos Harris. He had a nice day today, had some nice gainers, nice receptions, couple of receptions receiving over 30 yards. That's a guy that's a true freshman that's going to be around, you know, Denton for three more years. That's a nice thing to see him having a nice game like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of players that did make plays. You know, it's nice to see that they were the younger crew and the people we'll have hang around for several more years. And when you look at the belt, I mean, this is these players, we're not used to this. Past few years, we've just had a lot of JUCO guys that are stepping in and we're expecting them to do things. And we just got young guys. And one of those positions, and we'll move on to the other side of the ball, one of those positions where we're really going to need those guys to develop is the secondary.
Yeah, absolutely. The secondary is a big key. And you saw some good plays, especially late when South Alabama was trying to get back into the ball game. I know Whitfield had a couple of blocks on pass receptions. I think I saw Laramie Lee's name, and I don't have the defensive tackles right here, but I saw Laramie Lee making a lot of plays back there. And, of course, Trice. You know, Trice is making plays, and he had a big hit on the sidelines. So there's definitely some reason for optimism. Do they need some improvement back there? Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, getting Warner back from the injury will be huge. And then they've got some young guys that could help them next year as well.
Yeah, I like seeing Marcus Trice. He's made a couple of plays where like, oh, but then he's really made some good. He made a really great hit tonight. I really like to see him turn into a Buckles or a Chris Jones. You remember those guys? I mean, big hitters, great
Craig
to have
Jones.
Him back.
Yeah,
Craig
absolutely. Jones. I mean, I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Jonas Buckles.
But you've got some guys with some athleticism that can play a little bit out there, and they're young, and they've got years to come back and get even better, so you never know.
What about the defensive line? What do we have? I mean, we see the defensive line, and nothing against them. You know, you got the Sarge in there, and you've got a couple other players. They've made a few plays, but the pass rush has just not been there. We had one sack late in the game against Arkansas State. I believe we ended up with three sacks this game when you're looking at the stats, but there was some at the very, very end where they were really trying to see what they could get with a long pass, and so he was really holding on to it. But earlier in the game, he did not feel pressure. He had plenty of time back there. He had plenty of time to do what he pleased. We just could not get a pass rush. And that's been an ongoing theme the whole season is a defensive pass rush, and we've got to have one.
Yeah, and I mean, there. I think Aaron Bellazine was the big sack master tonight.
What is he? Is he a sophomore?
He's a junior. I think he's got another year. So we'll have him back next year. Sarge is back next year. Casey Obie's the only big graduation, I think, on the defensive line. I thought they were active. I think things got better for them once North Texas had a lead and they could sort of pin their ears back a little bit. Still a long way to go, though. I mean, let's be honest. South Alabama is not the cream of the crop. We're fixing to face that in the next 2 weeks. But that being said, hey, the defensive line definitely got more pressure tonight than we've seen in a long time.
So when you look at what we have lined up in the next few games, you know what, before we talk about the next few games, let's talk about special teams. Olin missed a field goal. It wasn't one that was vital, like earlier in the season against Troy where we missed, but he still sent one wide right. I'm just going to let that go. I'm not concerned about it. Atterbury, senior.
Oh, my gosh.
We didn't discuss he was going to be graduating. Atterbury has been a spectacular punter. He came on strong. He lulled there a little bit with an injury, and then tonight he had a great showing. If you weren't at the game tonight, it was windy. I mean, one of the windiest games I've been to in a long time. Into the wind, with the wind, his punts were monster tonight.
He had a long of 56 yards. I'm assuming that was with the wind behind him, but he averaged 39.6, and this is the big stat. Out of 9 punts, he had 5 inside the 20-yard
line. Yeah, he was on. And then one at the very end of the game, they roughed him. They knocked him down.
They didn't call it.
And they didn't call it, and I do not know how that one slipped by. I mean, he was obviously just clobbered back there, and they didn't call it. It was very strange, but he had a great night. It's good to see him on his last game.
Oh. Going back to defense, I mean, Zach Orr had 12 tackles tonight. Derek Acoon was number 2 with 8. Jeremy Phillips, that's a guy that's graduating. We got to give him a warm goodbye. Jeremy Phillips, hey, he's had his ups and downs, but pretty nice career here at North Texas, and he will be missed. Also, Casey Obi with 5 tackles tonight, and another guy that's going to graduate that's been a good contributor in this program.
Well, Harry, let's talk about some of the Sun Belt scores because, this isn't the belt of old by far. And when you look at what we've got against the belt, Monroe got beat solidly by Arkansas State, 45-23.
And Monroe's quarterback broke his foot. They've had a lot of key injuries. They are not the same program they were when they were hanging with Baylor and beating Arkansas in overtime.
And tying Auburn. It is the tale of two seasons for them.
It makes things real interesting for us because, both Monroe and Western Kentucky a couple weeks back looked pretty unbeatable. Now all of a sudden they're showing chinks in their armor. Both have had some pretty big losses. And, boy, I mean, if you're North Texas, getting 6 wins, winning the next 2 games, that would be a huge step forward.
Well, Monroe is 4-2. Western Kentucky is 3-3. Louisiana Lafayette's 3-2. Monroe
in the
was
Sun
4-2.
You're talking about in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I'm talking about
right.
In the Sun Belt. So, we were – the teams that have won less in the Sun Belt or below us are Florida Atlantic, South Alabama, and Florida International. I would not have expected before the beginning of the season Florida International would have been at 1-5.
They've been a big disappointment. They're not the same team, and it just goes to show you, hey, a year, graduation losses, things of that nature can make a difference. But if you're North Texas, you got 2 road games that – one gets you back to the 5 win total of last season, which would be huge. You don't want to take a step back if you're North Texas. And boy, if you could get them both, I hate to even say this, but you're bowl eligible.
6-6 if we can pull the next 2 out. But
not
you would go
to a bowl, but still, that's a big.
Yeah, that is saying a lot. But let's talk about some of the other scores. Florida narrowly to be defeated Louisiana, Louisiana Lafayette. And let me just say, they blocked Lafayette's punt. Otherwise, that game would have gone into overtime.
Yeah, they gave them a great game, and it's just a shame they couldn't pull it out at the end.
Yeah, so the SEC is probably not as great as they have been, obviously. Florida Atlantic, 37, Western Kentucky, 28.
That's a shocker.
That is very much a shocker, and that's got to make our team feel good because we beat Florida Atlantic.
You have to go into these next 2 games thinking you've got a chance to win. Monroe has the injury to the quarterback and other key injuries. They're losing games. Western Kentucky lose to Florida Atlantic. Hey, man, 2 games, that gets you to 6 wins. That would be a huge, huge accomplishment for this team based on where they've been.
There's a long way to go to get there, but that is still nice. And, of course, Troy beat up Navy 41-31. So we should have won the Troy game.
Gosh, don't bring up Troy. Ugh. That 14-7 loss is going to hurt for about 10 years.
Yes, there's there's no doubt about it. You know what? Since we're not doing the podcast on Wednesdays, we're doing these post-game show, I feel we need to mention the basketball game last night against Creighton. Neither you or I are the experts in basketball, but I know everybody was a little disappointed. But we were playing a very, very good top, 15. I guess they were ranked 16 or 15, depending on what poll you're looking at, in the nation. So Creighton was not a slouch of a team. So don't get down on Tony Mitchell and crew here. There's a lot of basketball to be played.
Yeah, I watched the game last night, and it was disappointing. We were hoping for a better showing. But, hey, the reality of it is I would rather lose games and struggle early. When you want to be good in basketball is at the end of the year. And I know people are going to argue, well, I say end of the year, you know, leading up to the dance and at the end of the season, which is in the spring. But people are going to say, well, your RPI is going to suffer and all this stuff. I don't care. The reality is these guys haven't played together. There's a lot of new faces. It's going to take time. They're still very athletic, and there's a lot of games left to play.
Right. So we'll be talking more about basketball, but right now another season comes to the end, the second season at Apogee Stadium, and we're purchased a little higher than we have been the past few weeks. And we can see the lights of Faust Field that they turn on every week just to remember us how good, just to remind us how great we have it over here across the street in Apogee. Because Fouts is lit up and it just looks so small and so old over there. So, you know what? We're playing in a better belt. This is a better belt than it was 4 or 5 years ago. If that Florida game had gone a little differently, then people would be going, my God, look what the belt has done with the wins against Arkansas by Monroe, how we hung
Georgia
with Kansas
Tech,
State.
Middle Tennessee beat Georgia Tech. There's been a lot of great wins.
Right. So, you know, with that, North Texas fans have a lot to look forward to. We got a lot of stuff to look forward to next year. We got two more games. Let's see how they end up.
Sounds like a plan. I'm excited. We've already had some revelations regarding the Conference USA schedule. I know you and I have talked about that. But this thing is really going to heat up next year in Conference USA. So let's just hope for a great finish to the belt season. Go out with a bang and get excited for Conference USA.
Yeah, that's one thing. If you haven't gone on the board, look, a lot of talk about what the schedule could be next year. Do we slide right into SMU's schedule, or what do we do next year? Some great road trips. Looks like we're playing at Marshall. I know that's kind of early to say, but it looks like we could be playing at Marshall. It's 2.5-hour drive from Columbus. That's a fight right there, man.
Hey, listen, Evan and I have made it real clear. We're on the record as saying we're taking our Conference USA opening season tour on all the away games, and we're going to stand by that. And we're already talking about how we can get to Marshall next year.
Yeah, we're already planning that.
Gotta get those flights planned early.
Yes, get those flights planned early. So with that, for the last home game of the season, we will bid you farewell. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.